The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 2, Scene 8. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
And I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly.
And we're going to hit yet another Christmas show today on Curtain Call. We're going to be talking about the Charitable Sisterhood Christmas Spectacular, which is playing at Virginia Rep's Hanover Tavern through January 1st. The quartet of ladies from the original, which premiered 2 years ago at Hanover Tavern, are preparing for a holiday show. And a missing baby Jesus from their nativity display brings a stern new member to the basement. So what'd you think, Dave?
I didn't see the first show, so I came into it with ignorance of what the whole Charitable Sisterhood experience was going to be like. There were some definite highlights. I thought the top of the second act has a very, very funny scene with just Jan Guarino, Kathy Schaffner, and Deborah Wagner playing their characters.
The trio.
The trio, right.
The trio was very, and I just have to comment that they're all three wonderful singers, so that takes that skill to do a bad version of that
Absolutely.
Song, which they did beautifully.
Right. I think that was the highlight of what otherwise was a fairly uneven production, particularly having not seen the first production. I really didn't know who the characters were, and honestly, I didn't get a whole lot of help. There's basically kind of one word, you know, attributes given to some of the characters. Jan Guarina's character is the Yankee.
Right.
And Deborah Wagner is the mom of nine. So as a, you know, a rookie to this experience, I didn't end up being able to feel a whole lot for these characters. I didn't have a good feeling for them. Another specific thing that I took away from the production, half of the second act happens backstage.
Right.
And this was not done very well. This was a kind of a clunky, you know, workaround to make it, you know, give you the backstage feel,
right,
and it
right.
didn't quite work for me.
I felt like the backstage business didn't really add much. I know when Bo was here to talk about the show on Curtain Call, he compared it to kind of to Noises Off, which of course is a backstage farce. And, you know, they really didn't add a whole lot of comedy or a whole lot of depth to those little backstage scenes. It was just to get them from one act to the next.
Right. One thing I did want to say is that this show reminded me of kind of the comic genius of really all of these actresses,
right,
but
right.
Deborah Wagner in particular. I guess in my mind, she is cemented as a singer because she is such a good singer.
Right.
But her comic timing is just impeccable.
It is, it is. Her reveal and the
right.
mystery at the end was
absolutely
the highlight, the moments when you just get a face.
Right. And, you know, all of these actresses, this also has Jodie Smith-Strickler in it as the kind of stern Lucille Orton character. Great performances and great actresses who have great history in Richmond. But I really came away, my wife and I spent, 30 minutes talking about how well she can do just the very subtle comic moments.
And it probably helped that her husband was the director, too, because he knows how to mind that.
That
too.
Could be true.
While we're talking about actors, you didn't mention Jan Guarino, who, of course, is also married to Bo Wilson, the playwright. Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting in the first production. I didn't mention this in my review because it was getting a little sidetracked. But in the first original show and in this one, Jan is kind of the straight man in the mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jan has done some wonderfully wacky, crazy comic stuff in her career. And in this one, she pretty much just doesn't get to be funny. She gets to just be the foil for everybody else's wackiness.
Right. And she has one small bit where she plays all three of the wise men.
Right, right.
Which she
right.
does a great job with.
Yeah,
but it
yeah.
is really just, you know, it's a 2 minute bit and that's about it.
I felt the show was really, you know, if you go expecting ha 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 punchlines, there are not a lot of those. It's more about the characters and the situations. And sometimes they did seem a bit forced. I thought, like you said, the cast knows how to deliver this stuff. So mm-hmm. Bo writing for people that he knows and he understands how they can deliver, I would be interesting to see another production in another city, which he's had done, mm-hmm. to see how other people deliver. But yeah, they definitely, Catherine and Deborah delivered most of the laughs on that. I thought the second act was actually better than the first act when they actually show their spectacular. The first act was just kind of setting everything up without
right,
really getting into much depth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second act, they did get to have some fun. Oh, and of course, then there was a nice warm ending on it to give
of
it
course.
That Christmas feel that we
right.
all love. I think Joe did a nice job of keeping the energy up, and the technical aspects were all fine. There was nothing stand out, but they all worked. I do think, though, that this is a new script. I think it strongly leans on the comic talents of the actors to really make it work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You said the ending that we all love. It's very schmaltzy.
It is very schmaltzy. Well, it's a Christmas show. It's a pleasant little show. I think
right.
the audience enjoyed it a lot the night I was there, and
right.
that's good. And I think some people will be a little less picky maybe than we are and enjoy the holiday fun.
I think you're probably right.
June 12, 2016. Do you recall the horrible event that happened that night? Most of us remember the shock and horror when we found out about the shooting at Pulse, the Orlando gay club where 49 people were killed and 53 others were wounded. Richmond Triangle Players is presenting a stage reading of After Orlando, which will run two nights only, December 12th and 13th. Today we have Josh Chouinard, who's on the faculty at VCU, who's coordinating the productions. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you so much. Almost 6 months ago. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah, six months. Yeah.
How did the project After Orlando come about?
Started off in New York with Caridad Svich and her theater company, No Borders, and another company, Missing Bolts Productions, with wanting to have some sort of theatrical artistic response to it. And they put together a group of playwrights all over the country that came together and wrote short pieces for them to present. And it's been presented in New York and been being presented all over the country at different theater venues. So I think it's up to about 35, 40 plays now. And
wow.
So you're able to pick through several packets, through several varieties of plays about which pieces you would like to do, because obviously if we were to do them all in one sitting, it would take several nights to do it. So we collectively ran through several of the packets and chose the ones we felt strongly about. And so it's been this kind of amazing artistic response to some way to work through, discuss, be part of the healing, hopefully, and storytelling around this really tragic event.
I'm glad the response has been good so far, but what sparked you to get involved in doing this production?
I know for me personally, this political season has been so overwhelming that it has almost washed over any and every other issue happening in the world around us.
Right.
This is major. I mean, this was only 6 months ago. This was 49 lives.
The deadliest mass shooting by a single shooter in the history of our country.
Exactly. And especially as we all move forward now, again, in this new political climate, I think these issues and these conversations around rights, around women's rights, around gay, lesbian, transgender rights. So I think artistically, it's very appealing to me and important to me that I am part of reactions and conversations around the issues that need to be brought to the forefront.
So what can the audience expect at this production?
I think they can expect to see some local talent in terms of directors, people like DJ Gray and myself, Keith Fitzgerald, Lucian Restivo, and some local actors like Chris Hester, Maggie Bavala, Jennifer McCauley, people who are in the community as performers, as artists, as directors, and are also in the gay and lesbian community in Richmond, coming together to read some really wonderful, well-written plays by award-winning playwrights and to share in some stories and to support the community. It's going to be a relatively short evening. I think Act 1 is going to be around about an hour long, and same with Act 2, and they start at 8 o'clock. So we're really hoping to make some space for conversation and dialogue for people who need to have it or don't need to have it, just want to have it.
Right, and you have to allow the time for that intermission so they can sell the drinks.
That's right.
Well, I guess we'll have to wait until the nights of the shows, which again are December 12th and 13th, to find out if there will be a talk back. Everyone is welcome, of course, to see the stage reading of After Orlando. It will be at Richmond Triangle Players on the 12th and 13th, and you can get tickets from their website. Thanks for coming in, Josh, but don't leave yet.
Okay.
Josh is also one of the season's new TAP members. And for those who don't know, the Richmond Theater Alliance named patrons and people who are involved in the local theater scene who are not involved with one of the specific theaters. They commit to seeing 2/3 of all our qualified shows and contribute their opinions to the nominations for the Artsies. So, Josh, you obviously have a theater background. What was the biggest surprise or challenge for you in becoming a member of the TAP panel?
Being asked to go see all of the plays in the community isn't particularly a challenge. It's a thrill and a privilege to get to do it. I think what's been a big surprise for me is just the good work that's happening in this community. Look, a season that boasts Mother Courage, that boasts, you know, Annie Baker's John, that takes a look at 1776. I mean, we're doing a nice mix out here of old and new and politically interesting. And I think it's a real thrill to be in this community again and looking at the work. So it's been all good surprises so far.
Good, good. Well, we'll look forward to getting your opinions when we have our meeting in a few months. Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
And that'll do it for this week's Curtain Call. We want to thank Open Source RVA for hosting us on WRIR. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a review of the final Christmas show of the year, conveniently titled A Christmas Story.
The Broadway musical.
Well, of course, although this is the Richmond musical.
The Richmond Broadway musical.
So for Sifter, I'm Jerry Williams.
I'm David Timberline from Style Weekly.
And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.